Transmission commence in 3, 2, 1.
Welcome to Level 7.
RandomChatter.com presents
the Strategic Homeland Intervention Enforcement and Logistics Division.
Do you copy?
Perimeter breach.
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Case files.
Authorizing.
Just call us S.H.I.E.L.D.
Access granted.
Coulson, get back to base.
Welcome back, agents. I trust you've all been suitably briefed on all the information coming out of San Diego Comic-Con. We'll be your hosts on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Case Files. I'm Director Shepard.
And I am Director Stolte.
And you've been authorized to undergo debriefing on the most recent mission from Agent Coulson and his operatives presented to the public as a dramatic hour-long television series known as Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Fortunately, you've all been cleared to know the truth, and we are here from our secret location under the Olympics, recording this this podcast to give you the all the current news from the summer convention circuit and press junkets and other cool stuff that they've decided to report about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. from.
Right. So what I especially like about our underground bunker here is we got that that above view of the pool, so we can just watch, you know, the racers through the glass ceiling. So that's it's a nice view.
Hydra has been busy at work with that pool. I know it's been a mess. So
yes, and possibly some of the athletes. So
yeah. So, well, welcome. I haven't talked to you for a while here, so this is good to get back together.
Yes, we have. Both you and I have had an incredibly busy summer. Out in the field, as it were.
Yes, our missions have taken us all over the world.
Yes, they have. So yeah, it's been very busy. So it's great to kind of settle back in here to home base and be able to talk to you about some stuff that we have learned this summer. Took a while to get to any new information, but finally I'm ready. I'm ready to start talking about it, getting back into the season because it's coming up.
Exactly. So before we get into talking specifically about S.H.I.E.L.D. stuff, I wanted to let everybody know about this this cool new book I got a sample of here. It is called Captain America Civil War Incredibuilds. And it is basically you build a little wooden shield of Captain America.
Okay.
When I was talking to the guy at the company, he's like, "Yeah, we don't have anything that's like S.H.I.E.L.D. specifically, but we got Captain America S.H.I.E.L.D." And I'm like, "Oh, well, Captain America is like I'm pretty much as close as you can get to S.H.I.E.L.D., right?" I mean, that's
and it is a S.H.I.E.L.D., so.
And it is a S.H.I.E.L.D., right? So it's totally there. So what
I
this
thought
is,
Incredibuilds there sounded like some of them steroids that they said the Russians were taking. So I didn't.
Right. So, well, I've been seeing some of these advertised for a while. There's Star Wars ones. They're ones for different franchises. There also are like animals and stuff you can get and other, you know, real world objects.
Yeah, I used to do stuff like this when I was a kid. We would have the little models that were made out of wood or sometimes cardboard that like dinosaurs and things like that. Did you ever do stuff like that as a kid?
I don't remember having like any wood ones. I mean, I had like little, I always did like, you know, the AMT Ertl, you know.
Oh, the plastic models.
The SnapTight ones,
sure.
Or whatever. Yes, the plastic models, yeah. But I don't remember doing anything like this. So when I heard that there was like these wood models, I was like, how do these work? Like I really couldn't conceive it and getting it, it makes a lot more sense. So it's laser cut wood, balsa wood, and it's like two-tone. So you know how the shield's got the star in it and it's got the red and the silver and the red ring. The quote red rings are slightly darker wood.
You don't actually have to paint this. You could just kind of,
you don't have to paint it. No. So they give you instructions on how to paint it, but you can keep, like when I put this together, I'm just doing it raw. Cause I mean, I really like the look of the wood. You know, you get a little bit of grain in it, but they show you how to paint it. They give you instructions. They tell you how to make the pristine version of the shield, and then also how to make like a damaged version of the shield as seen in Captain America Winter Soldier, where it's kind of scratched up and you know, buffed and stuff like that.
Will you just leave like certain pieces out or?
No, you just, it's the way you paint it.
Oh, I gotcha. Okay.
So it's like the different weathering that you can do to it. But what's great about this is you can just take it out of the packaging and you can put it together. If you don't want to paint it, it takes about, I don't know, 10, 15 minutes to put it together. All the pieces are, like I said, are laser cut. They just pop out of the sheet like when you get a paper model kit, you know, that's perforated. You can just pop the paper pieces out. Uh-huh. Same kind of deal. You don't need glue. You don't need any tools. Everything is tabbed and slotted and it all fits together. And it's like, okay, it's a round shield, but how does this all work? And it's a little chunky. It's not completely smoothed in the way that it, what I want to say, there's not really the curve to it, like, you know, his real shield, but it's Captain America's shield, and it's sure. about, I don't know.
It's still convex, but it's made of wood, got a couple vertice edges there where they come together, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But that's okay, but that's cool because it's a model, and I like the idea of keeping it wood in that shape because it seems more, artistic, I guess. Plus, my models always look better before I painted them anyway.
Yeah. It's got a little stand, so you can set it up on the stand. And it's even got the little brackets on the back, like his the straps and stuff that he attaches. So it's about 3 or 4 inches tall, I guess, maybe 4 inches tall. And you can get just the model by itself. I'm not sure how much that is. I think it's around $12. And it's available now. And if you guys go to art supply stores or possibly even at your local bookstore or Target or something like that, you can find this Incredibuilds Captain America Civil War shield. But what I have is the deluxe edition, which won't be out until October 4th, and it comes with a book. So it's a deluxe book and model set. And so you've got the model kit on top, you take it off, and there's a book behind it. And the book is what, like I said, has some ideas on how to make some other painting choices. I'm thinking you could also use markers on this potentially, but they, show you how to use model paint. But it's basically got it's a guide to the Ultimate Super Soldier by Rick Barba. And, there's an introduction about who Steve is, lots of pictures from Captain America, the First Avengers, and each couple pages walks through all the related Captain America stuff. So the Avengers and the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and the people, the S.H.I.E.L.D. members from the Avengers, the Winter Soldier, the Age of Ultron, Captain America Civil War, and whose side are you on and stuff like that. So it's pretty cool, and the deluxe set's only $19.99. And if you like building models, this is really cool, and the book's really nice. It's got some original artwork on it from I guess it's promo artwork from the movies, because it looks like the Marvel Cinematic Universe version of Steve Rogers, and then there's lots of photos and stuff inside as well. So it's about a 32-page book, something like that.
Nice.
Yeah, well, it doesn't. Yeah, 32 pages.
I always like the collectibles.
Yeah, yeah. I just have to figure out a place to display this because, it's just something else to for the shield. I mean, the book's going to go on my bookshelf with all my other comic-related stuff. But I thought that was pretty cool, and I really appreciate Sam for sending over a copy of that. So if you guys are interested, like I said, the model kit's available in stores right now, the deluxe book set, at least Amazon listed it coming out on October 4th, so check it out. All right, so last month we were talking about how Ghost Rider is coming to Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., which I'm still in shock from this, Josh.
Well, you and I talked about how they could make it work or how they could screw it up. So now that they've confirmed it, it sounds like they had those things in mind. And I'm a little shocked too, but I'm excited about it. I think it can be possibly pretty cool.
I agree. I mean, they're always, so far on S.H.I.E.L.D., they seem to be very thoughtful about the stuff they put on. I've never felt anything was too hokey. There are some things that, you know, seem very television.
Well, yeah, based, I mean, we've talked over the last 3 years about how some things have worked a little bit better than others. You know, especially later on in the series, I think they've started getting a little better at it. But it's one of those things that, you know, I think you and I worry about because we know what goes into making effects like this, mm-hmm. and it's not easy. And when you're doing it for a TV show where you have to pull it off with a limited budget and a limited time frame, and we don't know how much they'll be seen. But honestly, sometimes I think that you get better results when you're constrained like that because you're forced to come up with ways to do something.
You're forced to be more creative about it.
And I am completely okay when TV shows and movies show less of something like this, you know, like a character with a lot of heavy effects, less of that to get the feeling across. So it's kind of like the shark in Jaws, right? They showed less of the shark because it wasn't working right. It didn't look realistic enough for them, and so it made it more tense. Yeah. So I think they can do a good job on this. If they want to do some character building, just focus a little bit more on the character himself when he's not in the Ghost Rider persona.
Right, which I'm sure they will be doing. So, just speaking of showing less, have you seen Stranger Things on Netflix yet?
Loved it. Oh my gosh, I couldn't stop watching it.
So the monster, very much less is more. I'm glad we finally, you know, you do get a shot of what it is, but I don't know, it's like six episodes before you even really kind of get a good glimpse of it.
Yeah, and there's only eight.
Yeah, exactly. So, just as an aside, yeah, great series. I'm looking forward to the sequel. Netflix is killing it with all these things.
I know.
I'm waiting for, of course, Luke Cage coming on the 30th of September. So we will potentially have more interaction for the Marvel Universe characters. Maybe there's been talk of, well, the movies are going to be separate from Netflix and separate from the TV, but we'll see what they end up doing. But getting back to Ghost Rider. When we talked about it last month, we did know that it was the Robbie Reyes version, which is the most recent incarnation of the Ghost Rider from 2011. It's not the Danny Blaze, right?
Okay.
Johnny Blaze.
There you go.
Danny Ketch, I think, is the other one. Or Donnie Ketch was the second Ghost Rider. But the Johnny Blaze version, that's the Nick Cage character that he played in the film versions. And when I was talking about Robbie Reyes, I misspoke. I was not really familiar with that version of the Ghost Rider. I hadn't read it, but I had said it seemed like more of a Firestorm setup because there was a boy, Robbie Reyes, and his younger brother who is disabled, or I think in a wheelchair.
Right.
And
right.
Robbie works as a mechanic at this shop and he has a car. I think it's a Challenger, or a Mustang
Charger.
Or something like that.
Charger,
that,
I think.
Or Charger. Right. I thought that like he joined with his brother or something like that. No, that's not the case. The brother's just the brother and Robbie gets the spirit of vengeance in him and transforms, and it's somehow tied into the car. It actually, now that I've read a couple issues of that series, it's kind of a little more like Christine, right? He's kind of possessed by the spirit from the car, it seems like. But there may be more to that. Like I said, I've only read a couple issues, so I don't know the full history of that, though they are, I think they just announced November they're coming out with a new Ghost Rider comic series featuring Robbie Reyes, which of course makes complete sense if he's going to be on the TV show here. So, we found out that we have a actor playing Robbie now, and it's Gabriel Luna, who I am not familiar with. I don't know if it, I don't think it says here or anything else that he's done.
I looked him up on IMDb and I had not seen anything that he had been in. He's been around doing things for the last, what did it say? About 10 years or so. But yeah, I didn't recognize him from anything.
Okay. So,
relatively new, young actor. You know,
right. And he looks like he's younger, which is good. I mean, he's supposed to be about an 18 or 19 year old, I guess.
Yeah, and I don't know, again, I apologize, I don't know anything, but the things he's been in sound like they may not be from this country, things like Trans-Pecos and Matador, so I don't know if it's here or not, but yeah, you know, he looks like he could play the part.
Yeah, I mean, it's, again, the diversity of ethnic actors on the show continues to grow. There are a couple other announcements. I think it's out of the numerous announcements, I think there's only like one white guy, you know, in the announcements. It's really amazing how diverse the show is and continues to be, which is awesome. I mean, I think that is one of the things that is making it successful, because it's showing you've got strong female characters, you've got strong people of color on it. You know, even the Caucasian actors are not necessarily playing to type. You know, nobody is kind of a cookie cutter character. You know,
Which I think appeals to a lot of audiences now, which we're seeing more and more of it. I'm with you. I think it's very positive.
Yeah, I mean, I want to be like Mac. So. So let's see. So that was one announcement. So yeah, looking forward to that. There's been some paparazzi video from the set of the car driving around with Chloe Bennett grabbing onto the roof. So obviously she gets back in the action relatively quickly. It would seem she didn't look like she was in that goth outfit that we saw her in at the end of season three.
Right. Or she suffered a head injury and can't remember how to ride in cars, but I'm guessing it's action. That's my guess. I think you're right.
Who knows? That would actually be kind of interesting to have her like forget who she is and kind of go back to, revert back to the Sky persona. But I mean, she's back to that persona just as, I think out of necessity based on what we've seen so far.
Yeah.
We have another actress joining the show, Lily Birdsell, who they're saying is from The Walking Dead. And when I looked her up, I'm like, I don't remember her. Her name's Hannah on The Walking Dead, and she was on the webisodes. She wasn't actually on the main show. We're not really sure who she is, other than she's a recurring character named Lucy, described as a haunting character.
Haunting. So could that have something to do with Ghost Rider?
It could be. That was the speculation on the article that I found. So we'll see what she is. She could be a love interest for Robbie Reyes. She could be a villain. What I like about the way that ABC does this is I'm excited, obviously, to watch the next season, but I really have no idea what they're doing. Like, you know, we saw the first, 5 minutes of the next season. You know, we know they're going into LMDs. We know that Coulson's no longer the director. We know that Daisy's kind of off on her own, you know, helping people and stuff like this. And we know the Ghost Rider's coming and... Yeah, that's...
Yeah, they're teasing the casting announcement, though. I mean, I know that spoilers are a sensitive topic among fandoms now, but I'm all for just, telling us the name and letting us speculate how they're going to use that character. But I know they're kind of teasing us with a lot of this stuff, and that's fine. You know, it's more hype to go on, but it's getting to be the end of the summer. I'm ready for some juicy bits, so give me some more meat to these announcements.
Well, we really only have got I think it's the end of September.
September 20th
is when the show debuts, right?
Right.
Wow. So
it's not long at all. So I'm you know, I'm ready. It's just over a month is all.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, I'm sure we'll start seeing the commercials right after. I mean, I know the Olympics aren't on ABC, but you know, all the stations kind of playing around people viewing that. So I'm sure after the Olympics, a lot of that stuff will start hyping up.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, probably beginning of September, I would guess they're going to start showing commercials for that. So, and additionally, because the Marvel's Most Wanted didn't get picked up, there was an article out that was talking about, you know, why that didn't work. It just wasn't, you know, one of the stronger pilots that they've got, and to ABC and Marvel Entertainment's credit, you know, they want to do something that's really good. They just don't want to do something that's average.
It sounds to me like the powers that be, which sounds like there were new powers to be over there at ABC making these kinds of decisions, are interested in continuing to make different things.
Yeah.
And I will admit, it kind of felt like the Marvel's Most Wanted was going to be very similar to Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. with, you know, just a twist of having different characters that were well-liked, but still basically the same premise, you know. It sounds like just wasn't what they were looking for. They want something that was stronger, new, shiny, flashy kind of thing. But, you know, I'm still interested in seeing Bobby and Hunter, so...
Right. So, I mean, there's still a chance that they can come back to the show, and I think it would be fine for them to bring them back to the show. I would love to have them put the Marvel's Most Wanted pilot on one of the box sets, you know, one of the seasons is like bonus content. Be a great way to, you know, just have it out there. But a lot of pilots, if they never aired, they don't ever get out. You know, they're just like the Adrian Palicki's Wonder Woman pilot. There's copies that are floating around on the internet, but it's never really been released. Like, you will never see it because it didn't get picked up. It's something they're not going to show. They can't, you know, sell it or whatever, I guess, probably. That's So is there a chance they're going to come back? Yeah, there probably is, but they're not going to be recurring characters. They would probably be, you know, guest stars at some point. I don't know what Nick Blood's up to, but... Adrian Palicki did sign on for a 13-episode Seth MacFarlane sci-fi comedy, hour-long sci-fi comedy that he's doing for Fox. So Seth MacFarlane continues to try to take over the Fox programming and with stuff. But that's about all we know on that, I think. There's not a lot of details on what that show is. But
It's a comedy, of course, because Seth MacFarlane, right? But it's a space show set in... like 300 years from now, something like that. And I don't know, you know, they haven't really said many details about it, but it's kind of the genre. So, Adrian Palicki strikes me as a person that is pretty good at comedy, so I'm actually really interested in it. But I don't want her to be gone forever. I would love for her to do at least a couple cameos or something. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I can't imagine that there wouldn't be some time when the two schedules line up where, you know, she can get 2 or 3 days away in a week to, you know, do a cameo, or maybe the other show's off. And if the other show's only 13 episodes, you know, that's half a season. So there's definitely the back half of the season for her to show up on. Well, I mentioned earlier that we know that from the end of the season – that Coulson is no longer the director. And we made some speculation on last month's episode about, you know, who would be the director. And of course, you know, Agent May seemed like a pretty good choice. Of course, we were just going within the cast that we knew, right?
Right.
Well, they announced that everybody was wrong. Nobody knows who the director was going to be. And they've cast a new actor, Jason O'Mara, who has been in Complications, The Good Wife, but most genre fans probably know him as the voice of Batman in a number of recent direct-to-DVD films, such as Justice League War or Son of Batman. And what's interesting, what I think is really interesting about this is that they just said he is the new director of S.H.I.E.L.D. And he's a, you know, he's a really good looking guy. He's an older actor, on par with, you know, like Samuel Jackson or Clark Gregg, right? You know, he's what, you know, mid to late 40s, I'm guessing.
I think so. Yeah. That looks about right.
Kind of based on how he looks and stuff. So, you know, it's not like, some young guy. But they said that he is, quote, playing a character whose Marvel roots go back to the 1940s. So I found that really telling that they wouldn't give us the name of the character, that they would only kind of tease us with this. So I was kind of doing a little speculation on that to, try to deduce who it is. I don't think it's, I guess you could take it one way. Like, you know, it's a character that was around during the 40s, you know, that was frozen or time traveled or something like that. But I don't think that's what they mean. I think it means that, you know, it's a character that Marvel introduced in the 1940s is somebody else.
It could be in universe in the 40s, you know, like say from the Captain America, First Avenger, movie, you know, so, or it could be from the 1940s Marvel comics too. So,
yeah. So that's how I was kind of taking it, you know, so I was looking at characters that Marvel created and was using in the 1940s. And I don't necessarily think it's going to be, I think they're going to take the name of one of those characters who is a, you know, who was a superhero in the Marvel comics during the 1940s, such as, like John Liberty is one of the names that I was thinking about, who is, let's see, what's his, it's probably Captain Liberty or something like that.
So his name is John Liberty. So
yeah, let's see. It's
here we go.
Oh, Major Liberty. He was a World War II hero, that was from USA Comics. So like, that's an example. There was also, you know, there's also Kid Colt, who was a character that was created in the 1940s. But my thought is it's probably somebody, it would be, you know, there's a ton of characters, obviously, a number of female superheroes, probably not going to be one of those.
No, you don't think he's going to be Patsy Walker?
I do not think he's going to be, but they already have Patsy Walker. She's in Daredevil.
Oh, right.
Yeah. There were several superhero groups in the 1940s retroactively placed in the 40s is the Invaders. But the main superhero group that was actually being published during the 1940s in the real world was called the All Winners Squad. And
all
so I'm
winners or winters?
Winner.
Winner. Oh, okay. All right.
W-I-N-N-E-R-S.
It was a very confident group of superheroes.
Yeah. And it was a group that teamed up. It was one of the first comics that actually teamed up superheroes. Like, I mean, we're talking before like the Justice League did it, you know, in the 60s and everything like that. So primarily it's Captain America, the Submariner, and Bucky Barnes. But there was also the original Human Torch, Jim Hammond, and his sidekick Toro, who is Thomas Raymond. And then there's the Blonde Phantom and Miss America, so two female superheroes. And this guy, it's an unfortunate name, but it meant a little something different at the time. The Whizzer, W-H-I-Z-Z-E-R. But he was a speedster, you know, like a top.
Sure he was.
But he did wear yellow. So, again, unfortunate. And so the Whizzer.
The new director of S.H.I.E.L.D.'s going to be the Whizzer.
You're off to see the Whizzer, right? See, it's... The wonderful Wizard of Oz. And he's a character named Robert L. Frank. So my thought is that they're going to take like one of those characters and, you know, have the director have the name like Robert Frank or, you know, James Liberty or something along those lines. And, you know, then people go, oh, wait a second, was this guy a superhero at some point? Or, you know, that will obviously it'll be open to a lot of interpretation. But again, I think it's really telling that they did not reveal the character's name, because of course then we'd be able to look it up and find out all sorts of information. I didn't even think to go back and look at Secret Warriors to see if there was any older superheroes that they might have put in there.
Oh,
because that seems to be like the Bible that they're using for a lot of stuff.
Yeah. Yes. Now I want to just do that. When we get done, I'm going to do that.
Okay.
Find out if somebody in there, or they're just going to make him Flexo the Rubber Man. That's
could be.
Yes. Magar the Mystic, Director of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah. Yeah. There are, of course, a lot of names that are, you know, superheroes that are, you know, they don't have a alter ego. Well, and the thing about like the original Human Torch, and I'm not sure about Toro, but the original Human Torch was an android named Jim Hammond. Jim Hammond was the name that he used. But he was created, very complicated backstory with this character and stuff like this. You know, kind of like Red Tornado, I guess, in the sense that he was a sentient robot. You can actually see the original Human Torch very briefly at the World's Fair in the second Iron Man film.
Second Iron Man is when they did the World's Fair, I think.
No, I'm sorry. It's in it's when they go to the World's Fair in Captain America: The First Avenger. That's where it is, I believe.
Oh, okay. I'll have to check that out.
Yeah, it's like when they're walking in, there's a, you know, there's a glass tube with a looks like a mannequin inside, and I think there's a sign that says Human Torch on it or something like that.
So, movie Easter egg for you there.
Yep. So, obviously a new director, a new character on the show means all sorts of new interactions for our existing team. To throw a number of huge wrenches in the in what's going on.
Oh, they'll all get along. Yeah. That's, you know, just when you hire new employees, everybody just gets along with each other. Actual professional, right?
Unless it's your boss, and then you always butt heads.
Okay, yeah, I imagine that they're not going to always see eye to eye, especially with Coulson being the former director and probably feeling like he has some independence.
He probably, I'm sure Coulson still wants to do things his way. I mean, he was always pretty good at following orders for the most part, and except as director. he never really took his own advice, I think, there. But,
well, I think he followed the orders of Nick Fury, who he trusted to be, honest and sincere in what those orders were supposed to accomplish, right? So I think that's why he was always good at taking orders. As soon as the orders didn't seem to make sense, that's when he would stop. So I'm curious to see who this guy is, but I'm more curious to see why Coulson isn't the director. Did he step down on his own? Did somebody else kind of take over? Did everybody else he was kind of in charge. There wasn't really anybody above him. Because of what S.H.I.E.L.D. was doing at the time. I mean, they weren't really run by the government at this point.
Right.
So I'm curious to see why he's not director anymore.
It's probably a PR thing. Because it'll be interesting to see if they continue to use, who's the military?
The general?
Yeah. General Talbot.
Yeah.
In it, as, you know, a foil or potentially an inside source for Coulson to get other information that he might not have access to anymore. So we'll see. The fallout from all the Inhuman stuff is going to be hitting the fan here, I think, as well. It sounds like they're still going to have, you know, that elements from that storyline shaking out across the public, because there's yet another actress that they've added to the show, Parminder Nagra.
Yes.
And she's been hired to play, quote, an anti-inhuman politician concerned with what she sees as the latest potential existential threat to humanity.
Mm. As a side note, existential threat was also another hero from the 40s. I don't know if you...
Oh, I did not see that.
Yeah, no, I don't know if that's anybody on the show, but
so they don't, you know, they don't give her name at this point. But genre fans may remember her from the short-lived J.J. Abrams show Alcatraz on Fox, and let's see, she was also in ER with Ming-Na. And what else has she been in here? Oh, she was in Psych for a little bit. Uh-huh. And then...
I remember her from Bend It Like Beckham.
Exactly. Yep. When I looked at her, I was like, I totally recognize her for something. And I'm looking at her, the credits that they list her, and they're saying ER and a couple other things. I'm like, no, that's not it. And it's like, yep, Bend It Like Beckham. She's basically the second lead to Keira Knightley. In that, or well, really, I guess it's more about her because she's the one that wants to play soccer and her family doesn't let her and stuff.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, she was like the main character.
So. Yeah. So, you know, you look at these different characters that we're putting in here now. We've got someone who's a director of S.H.I.E.L.D. We've got this boy who is a auto repair person that becomes Ghost Rider. You've got Parminder in there as this... politician, you know, so you've got all these kind of different factions again at play. So there's so much room for them to do all sorts of different, storylines, you know, it's who knows what they're really going to be doing. So
I don't know. Like I said, I'm excited about these cast announcements, but I wish there was just a little bit more of the characters so I could get more excited how they're going to use them. That's I want to see how they're going to interact. I get it that Marvel has tons and hundreds of characters they can play with, even minor ones. So how they're going to use them in this universe is what's fun to speculate about. So I don't know how much – I mean, for crying out loud, they told us Ghost Rider is coming. I mean, that's got to be at least – the main or one of the main big announcements for the season is that Ghost Rider is here. So they can't tell us who Parminder Nagra is going to be playing.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, everybody tiptoes around these spoilers and to me, it all just seems silly, but whatever.
Well, I mean, and like we said earlier, you know, we're about 5 weeks away from the season premiere here and we're even longer away from the CW premieres, but they've already put out like little sizzle reels from their, you know, the initial footage that they've shot. And, you know, of course, they tease us with all sorts of other stuff. I mean, they're talking about stuff they're going to do at the end of the season, for gosh sakes, from what I've been hearing. But we haven't seen any footage. The teaser they showed with Ghost Rider is more of a... like a graphical representation, like a logo, a Ghost Rider logo kind of.
Yeah, it's symbolic art of the character coming to the show.
Right. I mean, it's a flaming skull, but it's a symbolic graphical representation. It's not, I don't believe that's
scene.
What he's going to look
it's
like.
It's not a scene with him in it.
Right, exactly. So I just, you know, I'd like to see more of that stuff. But again, I understand why they want to keep it under wraps. And you know, it's like they do with their movies and stuff. I feel that they hype it up appropriately. They don't have people coming out 2 years in advance of the film that they're making saying, oh, our film's going to be really fun. Or, you know, we're doing something really edgy for this. And, you know, it's like, if you don't really have anything to say, don't say anything. Just let people enjoy speculating and hype and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I want you to look at how all of the Marvel TV shows, movies, Netflix series, how do they hype things up? They hype them up by telling us which of these beloved characters or, you know, not been used in years and years but still part of the Marvel Universe characters is coming to your shows coming to your movie. Look at all the characters we're going to cram into Civil War. Aren't you excited about it? I mean, that's what they're doing. And yet here they're like, nah, we're not telling you who Parminder's playing. Jason O'Mara? No. No, no. Who's the voice of Batman? Batman's the new director. There you go. That's not what gets me excited. Ghost Rider gets me excited, right?
Yeah.
What Daisy's going to be doing, that gets me excited. And you don't have to tell me that. But, you know, announce who these characters are, and then I'll go. You and I will sit down and go, oh, well, what are they going to be? You know, how are they going to interact with Coulson? And is Mac going to be upset? Is Daisy going to get a boyfriend now that, you know, Lincoln's history? So,
is Daisy going to get a girlfriend?
Yeah, there you go. Parminder, Daisy's girlfriend. Oh, now you and I can speculate, right? So,
right.
I was speculate all night long on that one, but
I'm sorry. What were we talking about again? I just totally derailed that.
And you know, I'm not criticizing their promotion. I mean, obviously they know what they're doing. I mean, this is ABC, this is Disney. They're gonna saturate the September commercials. While I'm watching Modern Family, they're gonna have, you know, 19 commercials for Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. But I'm gonna be there and I'll see it. And they don't really have to promote it all summer long
for you.
Well, yeah. No, I mean, they don't have to promote it. What they'll do is they'll promote it the few weeks ahead of time, right? And everybody will kind of see it, you know, because it's
right.
It's,
I mean, there's
TV.
Different schools of thought about that, obviously, because, you know, they're the people that's like, you need to play the long game. You need to tell people in April that this is coming, and you need to keep reminding them. But problem is, there's so much media out there to consume.
Yes.
You know, somebody hears about that, and then they just, okay, then they stop watching whatever your things are, or they stop, you know, they ignore all of your updates, and then they go, isn't that out yet? I've been seeing commercials for a long time. Isn't that out? And
yes.
And they go look for it, and they don't see it, and then they forget about it, and they go, well, whatever.
It's true, but on a... like a small station or a small, you know, company like the CW, right? Where we do Arrow and Flash.
Uh-huh.
They have been promoting it since those shows went off the air. I mean, I cannot get on Facebook without seeing something about Supergirl or Superman and their relationship.
Well, they're really proud of that. I mean, that's a big get for them.
Yeah, they are proud of it also, but you know what? That's not really mainstream TV. It's not one of the big four. And, you know, I don't even know that is a good description of those anymore. But it really is still mainstream TV, even though there's lots of other options out there. So, I mean, I can see where they're coming from. I don't agree with it, but I see where they're coming from, where they say, look, we can wait on some of these big things because we know that a lot of people will be watching them later on down the road. The Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. has been out there for 3 years now. The first year, I saw billboards all over town all summer long. Not so much anymore. You know, they've kind of established themselves, so I don't feel like they feel like they have to do that. For you we love talking about it, so they can tell us as soon as the finale is over. They can wet our whistle with some things, and you and I will guess what's going to happen. But
yeah, I mean, I don't even watch a lot of regular TV anymore, so I don't see a lot of commercials for stuff. So I'm not, you know, being marketed to by that, you know, by
right.
the box. Right?
You and I aren't, but a big portion of the public is.
Sure, sure. But, you know, you're just talking about, like, that first season, lots of billboards and stuff. And the first season, you know, they really want to make the public aware of new shows.
Mm-hmm.
I was just reading an article about some other, you know, unrelated TV show. And was it Criminal Minds, I think. And they're like, the 12th season starts this year. And I'm like, holy crap, that's been on 12 years already? It's like, you know, those procedural shows can just go on and on forever because you just keep switching out the cast. There's, you know, one person's same as another. Whereas with these kind of shows, these superhero shows, I mean, I guess they could move into some kind of longevity thing like that. But, you know, a lot of genre shows, fans get attached to the characters. And if your main cast is going to leave and you're going to try to replace them with other characters or other actors, you know, you may not do as well. So you don't see the shows lasting, you know, 12 years, 15 years, yeah. whatever. It's, you
know, you're right.
Four,
you're right.
five, six, seven, something like that.
Well, that's the genre, which it has over history. We've seen it reinvent itself many, many times. So because they have to, because it's the same characters people still want and they still love, but they, you know, they're kind of running short of original ideas. So they've got to throw a wrench in there and change it up a little bit.
Well, speaking of characters that people love, we've been getting more information out of ABC and other sources about why Agent Carter wasn't renewed, or that, you know, wasn't really talked about and stuff. But you found some other information here that, we should never say never, that it's probably not dead, that there still is a chance in some fashion at some time for us to see more Agent Carter.
Yeah. I mean, I had kind of assumed they'd put the final nail in the coffin, but it sounds like, you know, it's kind of up on the board in case they need something, you know, if they're running short of ideas, I guess. But I know that
it's
creators...
Like in the parking lot, right?
It's in the parking lot. We'll stick a pin in it. I know that the creators want to do it. And even Haley Atwell has come out and said that she would love to play Agent Carter in some capacity. She loves it. But it sounds like the people that distribute these things, you know, the TV companies, just aren't really quite ready for the balance of paying for a show like this. Because a genre film is, I would guess, is a little more expensive than, you know, just an average film set here. Now, I'm not talking about special effects or anything, but you got to get costumes and set that match that era. So it costs a little more, I would think.
Yeah. Yeah. To their credit, they did all, I couldn't believe how much they did digitally, for the show.
Uh-huh.
So yeah, there's obviously that, but yeah, you're right. There, you know, a lot of costumes and stuff like that.
Well,
so.
But the digital stuff costs money too. To replace the
Pixels
skyline,
it's just,
or something.
I mean, you just sit down on the computer and type stuff in.
That's it, huh? You just tell them what to do. give me a 40 skyline. But anyway, they said that they would even be willing to do, you know, a 2-hour Agent Carter movie if that's what they want. So I don't know. I mean, like I said, there's nothing coming of it, and it doesn't look like there's anything anytime soon. But I don't think it's gone necessarily forever. Netflix is not going to do it. That's just not what they are focusing on right now. They want original stuff.
And they're going to have six series here come the end of next year, I think.
Six original series?
Yeah. I mean, wow. you've got Daredevil, who's already done two seasons. You've got... Yeah. Jessica Jones, who's working on her second season. You got Luke Cage, who starts later this year. You've got Iron Fist. So that's four. They've announced that they're going to do The Punisher as a series, as its own series. And then The Defenders, which is going to be the team up of all these characters, possibly The Punisher as well. And that's going to be more of a limited series, a shorter series, like six or eight episodes, kind of like probably like Stranger Things, I would guess. They've kind of got their slate full on that. The movies are doing the movie thing. They're still trying to figure out the TV bit, I think, because Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is going, though there is another ABC affiliate from cable that I can't remember the name of the channel. It's geared more towards teens and slightly older kids. That's going to be doing Cloak and Dagger, which is a pair of characters that are mutants / they have superpowers, but they're still teenagers. They're like runaways and stuff like that, or foster kids or something like that. So, there's a lot of stuff that's going on. So to find, you know, they say that, yeah, we can always bring this in. But as you said at the beginning of the show, you know, they like trying to do a lot of original stuff. So they've done Agent Carter, you know, it filled a void. It hadn't, you know, filled a need and stuff like this. And they're you know, they really don't want to overstay their welcome on any one thing. They just want to keep breaking new ground and stuff like that. So,
and they are, so
I guess we'll see. So, anything else you heard from Comic-Con that is pertinent or interesting?
Well, they did talk a little bit about Bobby and Hunter coming back to Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. somehow. They would not say any specifics, but they did say keep watching. So they may have something in mind, or at least they've maybe talked to him, say, would you ever come back? And they maybe said yes, I don't know. Somebody else asked about Daisy, and you know, now that her boyfriend has gone to that big space explosion in the sky there, they are wondering about a new love interest for her. And so one of them joked that you know, they're trying to cast that, but nobody seems to want it because it has an expiration date. That's not looking good for boyfriends of Daisy. But hopefully I'm guessing that something this season is going to happen with a new character. But I don't know. We'll see if that's if she has time for that.
Maybe the director, the new director.
I thought you meant the director of the show. I'm like, maybe you're trying to. It could be the new director, except I'm not sure that you know, this fugitive on the run and director of S.H.I.E.L.D. are going to have a lot of time, you know, to go out for a cappuccino.
So it is confusing to see news stories, I guess, that say that, you know, they've cast a new director of S.H.I.E.L.D. Because I was telling my wife that Jason O'Mara was taken over, and she's like, oh, that's weird. Don't they usually have different directors on every episode? And I'm like,
No.
Like the director of the Supreme Homeland Intelligence Espionage Law Division. And she's like, oh. So, hey, What's up with the DVD and Blu-ray set for this show? Like we said, we're 6 weeks away from season premiere. And what have we heard about that? Anything?
I don't know.
Yeah, Kenny from Twitter wants to know too. He said, why are the current seasons of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and Agent Carter not up for pre-order yet? I assume he means on Amazon. That's kind of the place where most people go to look. And I have a ritual, like every 2 days I'm going there and I'm checking. And yep, you're correct. I don't see those either, Kenny. I do know that probably about 2 years ago, it started Amazon and Disney have some, have a little feud going.
Mm-hmm.
Because of, I think, of leaked stuff that got up too early that Disney didn't want people to know about. So basically what happens is Disney, you cannot pre-order Disney-related material on Amazon. Now, the Star Wars stuff is kind of different because it's coming through Lucasfilm and stuff, I guess. But, you know, so you can find, like, the DVD was up available for pre-order before the movie or before it was released. And but with Disney movies, they don't pop up until about a week before. But I haven't seen dates anywhere. Like there's no media about it, which again, it's kind of ridiculous. You know, you want people to, you know, who'd be interested in starting the show. They want to watch the third season before the fourth season starts. So, you know, I guess you can watch it on Netflix,
you can buy digital copies of it on Amazon. So what is the difference? Why can't
it's all those extras, man? It's all the extras. I don't mean
what's the difference in buying them, but what's the difference in Amazon offering them digitally compared to, you know,
because it's something that you can get right now. It probably has something to do with the distribution deal, and you know, who knows? I mean, it's all politics and who knows who. And, you know, over here we have favoritism.
You and I are going to figure out some of these politics, because as of right now, the Dish Network, the Dish company, right, is no longer offering CW to my city.
What?
So I have no CW this summer.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I know. I'm going to be in a little trouble here coming up in a few weeks if they don't get that worked out.
Well, as long as you got ABC and we can keep doing S.H.I.E.L.D., that's
We can keep doing
important.
S.H.I.E.L.D. I still have ABC right now, so we'll figure out how that works.
Yeah, that'd be horrible if they dropped ABC. So, well, yeah, so, you know, hopefully they will get this figured out because our plan is to do a review of the box set on the next episode. But if it's not out, wow, we're going to – that also means we're going to have an episode coming out here in about 4 weeks. So, right, basically, I think our next episode will be out the week before the season starts. So,
it sounds like it might.
And you'll be back to work by that point, so you'll be ready to start talking about TV shows and stuff.
You know what? I've been back to work one day. I'm already ready to start talking about TV shows.
Yeah, I saw you posted like a crying picture of yourself on.
Yeah, Facebook. Yeah, my summer's over, but that's okay. That's okay. I'm not complaining. I know people work a lot harder than I do all year long. So,
but it's nice for you to get summers off.
It is nice for me to get summers off. I appreciate that. So then we can go travel the world for the agency here.
Sounds good. Well, hey, that's about all we've got for this month's episode of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Case Files. So thank you guys for tuning in. And if there's anything that comes up this summer, or, you know, during the season that you guys are interested in or want to find out more about, please don't hesitate to get in touch with us.
That's absolutely right. And you know what? Even if you have some ideas of who the new director might be, you know, what character from the 40s do you think he might be playing? I would love to hear your guys' thoughts on that. Give us a little background with it, too. Don't just give us a name. Talk to us a little bit about it. So, and if you enjoyed our episode here and any of the other episodes of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Case Files, we'd love to have some feedback on iTunes from you guys. It's always great to see the new listeners and new likes on Facebook and Twitter there. So, hey, we would love to see some feedback, too. If you want to get a hold of us, you can email us at shield@randomchatter.com. And also our Twitter handle is @agentspodcast, or our Facebook page, facebook.com/agentspodcast.
And you can also check out the other shows that Josh and I host here on the randomchatter.com network. As Josh alluded to earlier, we have Green Justice, an Arrow podcast, and Scarlet Velocity, a Flash podcast. You can also find all the shows on the iTunes Store and through Stitcher for Android or iOS. And if you're enjoying the podcast, you know, please be sure to tell your friends about us. We do appreciate, all, like Josh said, the new listeners that we see popping up. So I'm glad you guys are here, and, you know, let us know if there's anything that, you want us to talk about. So for, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Case Files, this is Jay.
And this is Josh.
Signing off from Level 7.
This podcast is not endorsed by ABC Television or Marvel Entertainment. The official website for Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. can be found at www.agentsofshield.com. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and related elements are copyright Marvel Entertainment, LLC.
Transmission terminated.